Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Product Marketing Insider podcast, which is brought to you by Product Marketing Alliance. My name's Bryony Pearce, and I'm the content manager here at PMA. This week's podcast is sponsored by Product Marketing Core, Meta, we know. PMMC is our very own product marketing certification program, and it covers the A to Z of product marketing essentials. With 11 modules, 68 chapters, 87 exam questions, 10 plus hours worth of learning, and official PMA certification, it's a course not to be missed. Head to pmmalliance.co/PMMC for more info. To help establish and elevate the role of product marketing, we're on a mission to speak to 50 PMMs and pick their brains on everything from their journey into the industry, which teams interact with most, what skills they believe are critical for the role, and a whole load more. To do just that, with me today is Phil Brougham, a product marketing manager at Trint and one of our very own London ambassadors. I'll let Phil chat through his role and journey into product marketing more shortly, but for now, welcome to the show, Phil.
Thanks, Bryony. Great to be here.
It's great to have you on the show today. I guess could we just kick off everyone listening with a bit of an introduction to you, Trint, the company itself, and then your role at Trint?
Yeah, sure. So I've been at Trint as a product marketing manager for, I guess, just over a year now, and was previously a PMM at another London-based startup in the AI space for customer service. You can talk a bit about my background a little bit as we get through the conversation. But Trint, just to give some context for folks, is an automatic transcription software, and we're focused very much on helping professionals working with any kind of spoken word to really unlock the power of audio and video. There's so much happening now in the industry, from, you know, increased video production to kind of a growing demand for businesses to unlock the assets they already have, whether that's, you know, a ton of like learning and development, you know, training videos or marketing assets or what have you. So we're seeing some really exciting stuff out there, but effectively our software is there to help professionals to utilize that spoken word content. I actually use Trint myself as a product marketer. So listening to research calls or the win calls, win loss calls that I do. So it's a great tool, and I love working here.
Mm-hmm. And then in terms of kind of your journey into product marketing, I noticed kind of looking on your LinkedIn, now you have a bit of a sales, business development, management background. Like, how did that transition come about? Was it something you like very actively sought out, or was it a natural progression? Or
yeah, I stumbled a bit into product marketing, but I'm so happy that I did. Mm-hmm. I joined. I've been in the software space for just over 3 years now. And I knew that sales was a place for me to get my bearings and to get started and sort of understand, you know, what does a SaaS business look like and what are the component parts and, you know, what do I feel like I'm going to be good at and where can I, or where do I see myself excelling? And, from that point of view, I always saw sales as a great place to get started, to learn some great skills that frankly I still use today in my product marketing world. But also as a bit of a stepping stone and you know, no disrespect to anyone from sales. It's just not really my cup of tea. Mm-hmm. So, I was looking for something after being about a year or so as an account executive, trying to find something that was a bit more strategic, that had a bit of a broader view of the business and how the business and the markets kind of work hand in hand. How to enable the business to get better, and ultimately something that's more creative. Mm-hmm. And I'd heard that we were looking for a product marketing manager, and I just felt that, well, hold on, product, you know, I don't know if I, you know, do I know about that marketing? I, you know, do I have any of those skills? And then on a bit of a lark, I just read the job description and I saw all these great parts of this, and I was like, wow, this role is totally for me, you know, between the competitive research and the sales enablement piece and the sort of expressing our product to the market in a sense that, and in ways that can actually compel people to make a purchasing decision, to compel people to value. All that stuff just seems like such a fascinating challenge, but also I thought a pretty good use of some of my raw skills. Mm-hmm. And so I applied to that role internally, and was fortunate to get it. And so I did that job there at my last company for about 9 months, mm-hmm. Before moving over to Trent.
And then when you started in that first product marketing manager role, I think it was at Digital Genius, like how, did they have an established product marketing team in place? So were you the first appointment with that position in the company?
No, I was the first one, actually. Fortunately, our head of marketing there, who I still kind of keep in good touch with, Jay Hinman from who's in the Bay Area, he used to be a product marketer himself. So he and I had a good rapport, and he was a great mentor for me as I was kind of getting up to speed in that role. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I think the other thing that really helped me was, you know, as we all know, you know, product marketing is always different in every business, and based on the business priorities, you know, the product marketing priorities will sort of shift with that, as has been my experience so far. At Digital Genius, the focus was really about sales enablement, building out repeatable playbooks, really refining, you know, our audience segmentation personas. How can we drive value the most quickly or sort of time to value most quickly for customers? And so my sales experience and my understanding of our competitors and so on was a really helpful way for me to, I guess, glide into the role of a product marketer and start contributing pretty quickly. Had that not been the emphasis at Digital Genius in the early part of my time there as the PMM, it might have been a longer time to me contributing, but that certainly helped me in that role.
Mm-hmm. And then in terms of the other areas of the role, like how was it kind of very much taught on the job? I guess a lot of it will be, you know, the part of having like your marketing manager, as you say, kind of guiding you through it. But for anyone who's listening maybe and they're currently in their first product marketing role or they're looking to get into it, like what would your recommendations be for them to kind of hit that first role running?
Yeah, it's a wonderful question. You know, for me, I found that just being proactive about, you know, what kind of challenges that you should be addressing, and looking really deeply at those challenges and thinking about, you know, who's done this before? How can I learn from those people? How can I canvas people's opinions and ideas from the organization, you know, internally, and to sort of, you know, drive your own, you know, your upskilling. Certainly having Jay, my former boss there was a great asset. And he also actually recommended some external, sort of content and assets for me that I could upskill on and train and kind of conceptually understand some of these, skills and imperatives for a product marketer. Mm-hmm. But I found that actually, you know, there's no substitute for applying those skills in a real world context. And I found that ultimately, like, canvassing opinions and canvassing ideas from internal stakeholders, whether that's the marketing team, the chief revenue officer, you know, the head of product, even the engineers, that canvassing really gives you a wonderful sort of 360 of what the problem space is, what the opportunities might be, you know, how do customers think about things. And it's a great starting point to actually put together your hypothesis and then how you'd approach a problem. And I still do that all the time in my current role. And it's something that's served me quite well. So I think certainly consume as much external, you know, information and guides and people's testimonials of how they solve problems. There's so much to lean on and so many, you know, I've certainly leaned on it just from Product Marketing Alliance, the work that people have done, in areas that I've tried to upskill on. It's been massively helpful. But then you always need to try to take that and apply it to your business context. And in doing so, you know, speaking with people who know your business very well, so the internal stakeholders, and then speaking to customers or prospects is also another way to sort of really validate that from an external point of view.
Yeah, for sure. And then obviously, so you started your product marketing journey at Digital Genius. You obviously got now your second product marketing role at Trent. And then I always find it's obviously quite a big talking point and kind of industry-wide thing of product marketing, and that the role just varies a lot from not only industry to industry, but product to product, obviously company to company. Like, how have you found like your product marketing role at Digital Genius versus now at Trent? Like, are there a lot of differences between the two?
Yeah, no, actually, quite big differences, and it's been very stimulating for me to make this transition. You know, even Trent in the last year, our business has evolved in such a great way that that, you know, subsequently my, you know, my focus has changed and evolved many times as a product marketer. You know, when I, in Trin, I really focused on the sales enablement piece and making sure that we were, you know, aligned, across the business, making sure that we had repeatability in our go-to-market, for the sales team specifically. At Trent, that became much more of a holistic approach. So that, that involves sort of redesigning or really putting my stamp on our go-to-market process and trying to set up a repeatable process that would, help the business be ready for our launches. It also involved starting to set up our sort of a sales enablement, functionality, which is, something we just didn't have before. And, you know, how do people find assets and how do people, you know, speak properly about products that are not like not yet launched or products that we're about to launch, making sure we have that consistency. And then over time that would even evolve into things like, you know, doing big sort of customer migrations, or looking at onboarding has been a more recent focus. So definitely quite a wide range of, a wide range of responsibilities as the business has changed and adapted in the last 12 months. And, you know, it's been, what's been really valuable at Trin is just our product team's methodology and their openness to kind of bringing me in has been massively helpful because I have such great, or such a wealth of assets here, given that, you know, we actually, all of our user calls, I'm invited to them. So when we're actually looking at, you know, testing and building out our wireframes and our alpha products and, you know, I'm really involved in the entire go to market, but I can also, you know, consult these calls into the future because we trend all of them. And so the transcripts are available and I can always reuse them. So it's great dog fooding, but having that sort of great nexus and that very helpful relationship with product where they've included me and brought me into their process has made my job so much easier. So that's been a great aspect.
Yeah. And then out of curiosity, do you kind of roll up to product at Trin? Like who do you report into?
Yeah. So it's a funny one because for a while there was a bit of a yo-yo conversation about this, you know, should I be in the product team or the marketing team? We are a product led company in many ways. However, I do report into the marketing team and there's something around, I think ensuring that the product is well represented in the commercial part of the business that makes the imperative for me slightly more important to be on the commercial side of the business mm-hmm. so that I can kind of be that product ambassador in a sense, and to make sure that we're aligned. And given that I'm quite regularly involved in how we launch our marketing campaigns and how we speak to the market, mm-hmm. whether that's in customer marketing or whether that's in demand generation, I think being embedded in that team feels more important. And I feel like I can contribute more there. Although I spend a lot of time on the product side and I usually, when we did have offices, a long time ago, I would usually hot desk in between both teams. And it's very important for me to just, you know, sit on the product and engineering side of the room, you know, take out my headphones and just listen to the conversations that were happening, you know, and there's so many incidental things that you'd come across that were just, these eye openers or these little gems that I would take advantage of. So, I think you should always be in as many camps as possible as a product marketer.
Mm-hmm. And then how have you found that kind of switch of all of a sudden going from being an office, you know, obviously being able to have the luxury of, you know, desk drops, those water cooler chats to obviously now everyone working remotely. And obviously it affects everyone in an organization, but I guess product marketing specifically, it's so cross collaborative. How have you found that just big switch essentially overnight?
Yeah, it's definitely had its challenges. I think just getting used to the working rhythm and hitting deadlines and being aligned is definitely just a different set of pressures and stresses on the process. I think from my side, what I've probably struggled with the most is how to keep that incidental, as you said, the water cooler chat, you know, or you're in the kitchen, you're making coffee and, you know, one of the devs comes up to you and you just have an informal chat that leads into something else. And you've got this great idea all of a sudden, from one of your colleagues that you hadn't planned on or hadn't envisaged. And so it's been very difficult to recreate that. So, my approach has been just to try to be as present as I can, you know, calendars permitting, to join these engineering standups or these product standups and to really, you know, scour Slack, you know, see what people are saying in these different channels, and just try to be as aware as possible, you know, spend time on GitLab where we work and kind of do our engineering work and for alignment there. So I'm trying to just consume and be present as much as possible. And do as much of that work as I can without, you know, letting that, or getting too much Zoom fatigue. But then, you know, being much more direct now. So if I do have a question from a product manager, I will just schedule a time with that person and we'll get on Zoom or ask them if they're available right now. I think in the old world, you could kind of get away with less of that, but there isn't enough. We don't have the luxury of inference anymore or the kind of, you know, that the filtration of ideas is not as smooth as it was. So, mm-hmm. Trying to make that happen is a much more deliberate action on my part, sure. I think.
And then in terms of like the actual product marketing team, like what does that look like at Trint? I feel like when we spoke maybe a few months ago, you were the sole product marketer. Is that still the case at the minute or?
Yeah. So I am still the sole product marketer. I guess there's a few different remits that I have at Trint that we've tried to carry out. So I'm responsible for all of our product marketing, of course. But then also our kind of content marketing sits under me and our customer marketing too. So we've kind of gone about filling these roles at Trint. So we've got a content writer who I work with who actually, you know, produces the content. So I'll sort of feed over to her, like, here's some ideas we've got. Here's new products that we're running. You know, here's the campaigns that we're working on. Let's create, you know, a content hierarchy and a content list that we want to, you know, get out for either for sales or for demand gen or for customer success, whoever the intended audience is. And then for our customer marketer, you know, partner with that person to really drive, activation and adoption. From across our user base. We have B2C and B2B customers. So there's a bit of a challenge there, challenges in a positive way. I think it's really stimulating to think about both audiences in a way that's meaningful to them, but to try and translate to that customer marketer. Okay. Here's what we're doing. Here's our products that, you know, tend to drive to greater lifetime value or to greater adoption. How do we try to get to these aha moments and to do that in a way that is consistent with our brand and, you know, a great customer experience. So, that's the setup for now. But I can see, you know, in the next few months, hopefully getting another product marketer on board would be nice to have a companion.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I was going to say, so like being the sole PMM, how do you find that in terms of, I guess, if you had a product marketing team, you know, if you had an idea or a concept, you maybe bash ideas around, who do you go to for that now? Like, would it be those kind of content marketing people that feed up to you or marketing or product, or like, where do you go for that support?
Yeah, great question. So I do like to canvas across the business. I find, you know, our head of product is a great thought partner. He knows the business and our, you know, the workflows that we're trying to improve and that we're trying to build upon. He knows those workflows super well. He's spoken with and listened to, you know, customers for years now. So he's got a very intimate view. And he's also very outcomes driven. So I'll work with him quite closely. I'll also work with our marketing team very closely. Usually starting with our head of marketing to try to think about, you know, some of the commercial and sort of customer implications for what we're doing, what we're thinking about, because it's just a different orientation. And then I'll often lean upon our leadership team actually. So, you know, going to our CEO, going to our COO for these bigger questions. And of course, you know, head of sales when that impacts, him and his team. But I do try to, you know, start small, you know, come up with some ideas myself, test with marketing, test with product. And then bring other people if we do need to consult them.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you have a good setup as well in terms of kind of going to leadership, CEO and so on. And then I guess it kind of leads me into my next question in terms of the kind of business-wide kind of view of product marketing. So I know a lot of product marketers, they have people in their company, even if they've been there for a few years, you know, they just don't fully understand what it is that product marketing does or the value that it brings to the table. Would you say kind of company-wide at Trint, everyone's quite bought into it, they kind of get it, or is there a lot of education that you have to do around that?
For the most part, people got it. And I think it was less to do with me and more to do with the situation that existed at Trend at the time. You know, we were kind of, or obviously we're still scaling, but, you know, we're at a point in which, you know, our teams were not, you know, everyone's very generalist. A lot of things were getting missed. You know, the launches were not being well thought out properly. You know, things that just happen, right? At a startup, nothing negative to say, but just that there wasn't a good connection between the engineering and product side and the rest of the commercial end of the business. And so I think that as soon as I started working there and getting the right habits and you know, meeting with the right people and creating my own rhythm of product marketing, I think it became very clear to people that, that they could rely on me from an engineering side, for example, to, you know, properly release what they've produced, or from the marketing and commercial teams, they could ask me questions about the product and I would have an answer for them, or I'd have assets ready for them. And, you know, actually take what their priorities were and run with that and produce something that they needed. So I think it became very clear to people quickly that this was something that was required in the business. And again, not so much for anything that I did, but just more, I think, for the challenges that the business faced at the time. I think once you start to get to areas that are a bit more, or a bit less obvious, right? If there's not necessarily a clear pain point, then there is more education to do. You know, so it's like, well, why is product marketing involved in this, and what's the benefit here? I think that becomes more challenging. And you know, getting the communication mix is always challenging, because we, you know, we're a company of about 60, 65 people now, and figuring out, you know, what does the whole business need to know? What's nice to know? And, you know, who are the right set of people? You know, why should they care? Mm-hmm. There's so much information going around all the time, especially now we're all on our computers and on Zoom and on Slack. Making sure people get the right information, that they care about is always something to get better at, I think.
Mm-hmm. And then in terms of those relationships with products specifically, and I mentioned earlier that they're like very open with you and you get brought in quite early. So what does the process of kind of bringing out new products look like, and your influence on the roadmap look like? Are you kind of literally brought in from day one, or?
They bring me in very early, to their credit. So we'll do sort of a opportunity mapping very early on, when we're looking at, we think we know what the market wants, what our customers want. And that's just done through collecting feedback from a bunch of different channels. And we actually use Prodpad to store all that and make it accessible and findable. And then we'll sort of slowly eventually put that onto the roadmap if there's enough of a real customer need. But we start off with these kind of product opportunity kickoffs, and I'm actually involved in those. And it tends to be the engineering team that's working on it, the product manager, and myself. And then depending on the product, actually, sometimes even our management will get involved too, just to sort of really fully explore that problem space. So I'm involved very early on, which I hugely appreciate. I'm involved in the user conversations, you know, where we're testing and sort of building out the wireframes. I kind of have license there to get involved as much as I'd like to, but I tend to not, you know, focus too much on things like design and UX. You know, we've got people that are very good at that. That's not really where I can add value. But I'm very curious to hear, you know, what do people talk about when it comes to their pain points, and what do they talk about when it comes to blockers and, you know, the potential impact of that product? Because that's great for me to obviously bring into go to market planning. So there's that element. When it comes to the roadmap, this is definitely an area of growth, because I feel that for myself personally, because I feel that, you know, product does a wonderful job at Trend of identifying areas of pain and that exist today, and also having some vision that's kind of, you know, leading the business forward. There's more work for me to do as a product marketer to be more present in the market and to, you know, to bring insights into the business that can contribute to that roadmap formulation and being a sort of a more reliable, you know, partner to product when they're putting together that roadmap.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess this next one, like, it will vary from company to company, but I see there's, you know, there's lots of conversations kind of online and Slack around the crossover between what a product marketer does and what a product manager does, and where those lines, although they'll obviously be kind of blurry in the middle, but where those lines begin and end, so to speak. So kind of how does that look like for you at Trint with your relationship with product management?
Yeah. So I think from Trint, you know, I'm very focused on anything to do with the message, you know, how we express product out in the market, how we enable the business, what do we actually talk about, you know, as a company, as a sales force, and how do we, you know, how do we accomplish those goals? Product, I have, you know, I always ask them for input on that. I'm very curious about their opinions, but ultimately that sits with me. So that's one pretty clear line. From the actual sort of prioritization and the build and the process of, you know, putting the roadmap together, that sits mostly with product, and that really is their responsibility. So I will have input onto that, and I'll be, you know, my opinion will be asked, and we'll stress test all these things together, but they're really responsible for designing and executing, on the product vision. So we tend to sort of split off in those ways. And the handoff is very seamless because we're just so involved in each other's workflows. So, mm-hmm. I think there's a pretty clear understanding from both sides for where, you know, where we should both be operating and spending our time. And it often leads to really good collaboration. So, that tends to be how we do things at Trint.
Yeah, for sure. And then what are those ratios like for you? So how many product managers are they to kind of you as the product marketer?
Yes, we have three product managers now. We're about to have a fourth one. So 4-1 is, you know, I think we're getting tight now.
Yeah.
I think I might need some help, pretty soon, especially as we kind of ramp up, you know, product build and release. So, you know, right now it is manageable. I think as we do more, there's going to be more. And, you know, one thing I've learned with these products that we're launching at Trint that are relatively complex, and, you know, we have to make them, you know, like any product market, we've got to make these products very clear. That's to be an easy reason to buy. The pain has to be real and so on. To do that, you've got to really be involved early on. So, you know, and you've got to want to be curious about the early stage of what people are saying. So it takes a lot of time. And as much as I love to be involved in all the research, you know, there's just not enough hours in the day with everything else going on. So, as we do more, there's probably some reinforcements required.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. So next question. I asked this in all the insider podcasts, and I'm getting the general consensus that there isn't actually an answer to it, but I'm going to continue asking it anyway. We get a kind of a lot of questions in kind of around what the standard day of a product marketer looks like. And there obviously is kind of no standard day. I guess every day will be different. But are there any kind of constants to your day? And I guess this will be very different as well at the minute in the midst of COVID. But yeah, kind of any kind of day-to-day stuff that will be the same for you all.
Yeah, that is a tough question. Yeah. I mean, there isn't a standard day, no, but I do try to keep certain things in place. So I think I try and look at data every day as much as I can. I don't always get to it, but it's something I try to do every morning. You know, looking at usage data, looking at our subscriber numbers, just trying to keep my finger on the pulse a little bit, in terms of which, you know, what kind of activation are we seeing? What's our usage looking like? And trying to be close to that. So I'll definitely try to do that regularly. And I always try to think about, you know, we've just actually put into place our goals for the second half of the year. And I always try and look at, you know, what is, you know, how am I meeting my goals this week to actually, you know, filter up into this major goal for the half year in this case. And so just trying to stay in touch with that, is very important for me. But then other than that, it sort of cascades into pretty broad, differences in sort of a day to day, you know, everything from sort of sticking with other teams or, you know, working on assets or enablement, you know, doing user surveys, you know, working with people on my team. It's really a big range.
Yeah, for sure. And then you mentioned kind of the bits about goals, usage data, subscriber numbers, and so on. Are they kind of things that you are OKR'd on? Or like what kind of OKRs do you typically work to?
Yeah, so we have our OKR processes. We set them as a business first, and then each department will set their own OKRs that obviously feed into the overarching business goal. So in my case, the marketing team will have a set of OKRs, but then I myself, for sort of my team of myself, content and customer marketing, will then set OKRs that we want to hit. And then obviously that must lead back into the marketing and then subsequently company OKRs. Mm-hmm. And I found that, we've been experimenting with OKRs for about 18 months now, maybe a bit longer actually, but regardless, I think OKRs, they have to reach your level, and they have to reach, what you're doing on a day-to-day basis in a way. Otherwise they can get a bit lost, I think, in the shuffle. So, I feel quite good about this half year, and that we've developed some OKRs that are ambitious, but that are very relevant to our day-to-day work. So I hope to see some changes there. I'm excited to hopefully achieve them all. We'll see.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. Okay, awesome. So looking back to, I guess, when you kind of started in product marketing in your last company to where you're at now with Trint, what would you say are kind of the top three skills that have helped you kind of get where you are today and achieve what you have done within the role?
Okay, yeah, top three skills. So I think one is I'm not sure if you can call this a skill exactly, but I think curiosity has been a really helpful driver for me in terms of really trying to understand, why is it that we're like, why are we building a product? What who is it there for? Why is a customer struggling with this specific problem? Why does that matter? Why is sales not able to sell this? Or why are our numbers not so great on one metric or another? And that curiosity, I think, has been very helpful for me to try to, just, I guess, get better. The other thing I would say is I think just communication has been a really important part of my work and probably always will be. And, I think I've gotten better at this over the years, but, certainly being able to think about who is your audience, both internally and externally, actually. So I started saying this, thinking about the internal example, but of course it's highly relevant for anyone, external. But, thinking about, okay, if I'm delivering a presentation to management, how does that need to be different than if I'm just talking to the marketing team, or if I'm, talking to the whole company, and really starting with a place of, why should someone care? What are the ways to make this digestible, understandable, and hopefully compelling, right? Mm-hmm. Always trying to get better at the communication side, as much as I can. And then I think empathy as well. I mean, again, I'm not sure if that's really a skill. It's maybe more of an orientation, but I think, whenever I'm working on a go-to-market plan and thinking about, okay, well, why should the customer care about this? What's in it for them? Or if I'm doing, a sales enablement, what is it going to be in here for the sales rep, especially being a former sales rep myself? What does that person need to know, and what's going to make them successful? Or what's going to be important for our demand generation person, how do they need to, or what are the assets they need to actually, be successful in their role? So trying to just think about other people's points of view, what do they need to work through? And I think that makes me more effective as a product marketer. Again, I'm not sure if those are specifically skills you could put on a CV, but I think.
No, they come up quite a lot. I'm curious to see an empathy. I asked this to everyone in the Insider series, and it's definitely not the first time either of those have come up. Yeah, and communication as well. That one, I don't think I've done a single podcast where communication hasn't come up as a skill. Right. It's obviously so key. But yeah, curiosity and empathy are great shouts as well. And then I know you mentioned at the start of the pod that there's a lot of skills that you kind of built up from your sales background that are still like super relevant to now your role as a product marketer. Kind of which kind of skills, like specifically, would you say that have helped you from your sales background into what you're doing today, and like how do you follow those through?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, for me, I found that, first of all, just an appreciation of the sales cycle, deeply understanding what that looks like, what's required, from a sales rep to move from stage to stage, how can our product marketing, our marketing, our assets and collateral impact that, and to help our close rates. I think that's been really helpful. So, when I go into meetings with sales, I have pretty quick credibility because I understand, how they run their business effectively. So that's been a great part to build trust, but then also to just be to produce work that's more relevant and useful to them. And I think also then that kind of that emphasis on commerciality, you know, how much did we close? You know, what was our win rate? What was our conversion rate? It just, for me, it's always just hit closer to home because, you know, I had a number on my head and I knew what that was like. But I understand why it matters for the business too. And so I never had to get educated in that way. Just because it was so ingrained. Mm-hmm. I also think there's an element of, you know, when you're producing, you know, there's a different way to write, you know, marketing copy for a website versus for a talk track on a, you know, sales slide deck or for when you're actually pitching someone. You know, I've received many, you know, as a salesperson, I've received many, you know, talk tracks and stuff that I would just never say that out loud. You know, it just wasn't, you know, it was like a robot had written it or something, which it would look wonderful on a website or on a one pager, but not for an in-person conversation. So I think that, that sort of, again, I guess it's more empathy, right? But that sort of ability to kind of condense those ideas, has been really helpful. I would say the other thing though is more just in my own practice, you know, so if I'm speaking to, you know, Trent users or if I'm speaking to, you know, prospects that we've just done, you know, one win-loss calls with, a lot of things I learned in sales were actually to, you know, how to have conversations and how to uncover, you know, I guess going through like a discovery call, you know, how do you uncover value? How do you uncover pain? You know, asking these open-ended questions, asking why. You know, it's, I think we all understand them conceptually, but, you know, getting on the phone can be a pressure situation. Not everyone's good at it. And I found just this sort of approach of sales through curiosity is very applicable, you know, to actually when you're trying to uncover something. Obviously a salesperson is trying to uncover, you know, how the solution can be valuable to an organization. As a product marketer, I'm doing something very similar, even though I'm not trying to sell, I'm just trying to understand. And of course that can be applied internally. Right. So if someone, you know, my boss is asking me to do something, I can always say, you know, how do you expect me to do that? Or, you know, asking that open-ended question is actually a very good business tool. So it does express itself in some of those areas.
Yeah, for sure. And then in terms of those conversations with Trent users, I guess it's obviously time and resource permitting, but how often do you try and actually get on the phone with your customers to have those conversations?
So I try to do it several times a month. It's really not enough. I'd like to be doing this more frequently and just, you know, it should be something that I think is weekly, ideally, across a range of different segments, just to try to understand actually what is, you know, what is happening in their world and are the things that we're missing. So I try to do it as frequently as possible. I'm always sort of chasing our sales team to do win-loss calls. Because we're still trying to create our category and we're still a growing business. And I think understanding from prospects, you know, why they're buying and how they're buying, or why they're not buying in some ways, more importantly, that's, and I try to do that at a pretty constant clip.
Mm-hmm, cool. Okay. Penultimate question. It's a pretty loaded one, but in your opinion, what do you think needs to change about product marketing? Just in general, so not specifically at Trent, just the kind of product marketing industry as a whole.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I mean, I always find that I think there's a perception problem in general. I think most people say this, and I tend to agree. I think, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily, you know what product marketing does or exactly what they're responsible for. I have a feeling that, you know, I think there's a way of sort of tightening up the role or you know, when people hire product marketers, they should be very clear about what they want them to accomplish. And I think sometimes, you know, businesses will just sort of, you know, set you on your way and just say, look, figure it out. And I'm happy to figure it out. Actually, I quite like that. But, you know, being cued into the business priorities is really important. So I think being very brief specific with product marketers is very helpful. Because, you know, I've had a lot of times where I'm just stretched way too thin and I don't know what the priority is. And, you know, it's partially on me to figure that out. But I think businesses need to be very clear with their product marketers about what the intention of the role is. And because I think the impact of a product marketer, again, I'm very biased here. I think it can be very high, for a lot of companies. And you can have, you know, but if you're not putting your best foot forward and you're not working in the way that, you know, meets the business expectations and priorities, then it can be problematic.
Yep, for sure. Cool. Final question. If there were any new or kind of aspiring product marketers wanting to get into the field, listening to this and they tuned in, what would your advice to them be to kind of get those early stages, get them right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you're trying to get into it, I'd say that, you know, there's no wrong place to start from, you know, a starting point to get into product marketing. You know, obviously I came to it through sales and business development. You know, a lot of people obviously get through it just through a general marketing role, or product or so on. I mean, there really isn't a place that disqualifies you, as a product marketer. I think, you know, if you see that as a transition point for you and you say, okay, look, in a year, I'd like to be a product marketer, you know, look into what the role entails. That's what I didn't do. I was very fortunate to have that experience, but, as a salesperson and then going into a highly focused sales enablement role as a product marketer, I found that, you know, if you have that ambition, you know, do the research, do your homework, try and find out what all the different parts of product marketing entail. And there's many, of course, and see where you can start practicing those in your role currently, right? So if you're a business development rep, and you're on the phone all day, you know, can you start to sort of paint a picture of the different personas that would buy our product, you know, and if those haven't been created for you already? Or, you know, if you're a marketing person, you know, can you start experimenting with, you know, what specific, you know, messaging you would set for a product that's launching? Or if you're a product person, you want to become a product marketer, you know, you're building products all the time. How would you see that? You know, what's the best way to actually launch that in the market? Just, you know, give yourself, you know, or attempt to do these things. And if you've got a product marketer in house, maybe work with that person a little bit, ask if they would mentor you to make that transition. And if not, you know, there's a wonderful Slack group. It's run by the Product Marketing Alliance. People are very friendly in there. I've gotten a lot of help from individuals. So I would utilize resources like that are just incredibly helpful. But, you know, try and experiment and see where you can put some of these skills into practice every day. And I think if you show that initiative and commitment and that sort of, again, that curiosity, I think people become very impressed by you because it's such an important skill as a product marketer.
And for everyone listening, I didn't pay Phil to give that plug for the Slack community. That was voluntary, all voluntary. Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Phil. It's been really great speaking to you.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Brainy.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Before we leave you to get on with your day, if you want to get involved, here are a few ways you can. If you're a product marketer and you want to come on the show and speak about your day, a specific topic, or your role in general, that's one option. If you want to flex your podcast hosting skills, being a guest host is another. And finally, if you or your company want to sponsor an episode, there's a third. Thanks again and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.